Flooding is almost a way of life in West Virginia. Since January 2015, rising water has destroyed about 500 private bridges. And after the destruction, it usually falls to residents to rebuild.
Okay, first we'd like to welcome everybody here to our another ribbon cutting.
We came a long ways from last December when we did our first bridge.
That's Jenny Ganaway, West Virginia's chief disaster relief organizer. When hundreds of private bridges in the state were washed away by flooding last year, she set out to rebuild safer, stronger ones at no cost to residents, even though many people said that would be impossible.
When we heard you can't get this done, we made sure we got it done.
In remote and mountainous Lincoln County, Ganaway stands with residents, government, and religious leaders. They're on a wooden deck of a 50-foot-long bridge that Mennonites from Virginia designed and built. It crosses a stream connecting a state road to the house of Chuck and Carol Atkins. It's the 15th one they've completed.
All right, woo!
We've lived here probably about 36 years, and I had my bridge for about 35 years, and the water washed it out last July.
Chuck Atkins, or Preacher Chuck, as he's known, walks slowly with a cane.
I took it for granted to walk across there to leave my garbage, to get my mail, to have a way to get my groceries in. I took all that for granted until it was gone.
It's flooded several times around their home since last year. There was no disaster declarations, and that means there's no government funding to help rebuild. Replacing this bridge is a $20,000 job, something the retired couple cannot afford. Today, Preacher Chuck stands next to a sign he asked the Mennonite volunteers to paint. In large white letters, it reads, "Thank God." A few ridges over, probably less than a mile as the crow flies, but several twisting, turning miles by truck, there's a machine shop preparing steel pieces for the next bridge. Bill Fry is a machinist who lives and works here.
I do the machine work for the bridges. Yep. They have to take the bridges on site and then bolt the bridges together. Then there's anchors to be made, the pipe to be drove in for the pilings, just whatever they need.
Fry has piercing blue eyes. A lifetime of cutting and welding metal has left him with leather hands and strong like an ox.
And what other kind of work do you do out here?
Do for the coal mines.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Primarily you work for the coal mines?
For 40 years.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. And how's business been?
Haven't delivered a job to the mines in 2 months. Not one job. Yep. This is all I've got right now. Yep.
Fry's handiwork ends up on the other side of the county with a group of Baptists. Jack Cobb and other volunteers stand on either side of a stream that has cut a 15-foot crevice between them.
That bank is weak there, so be careful where you folks are standing.
With so many damaged bridges in the state, other religious organizations, like the American Baptist Men, are now stepping up to help. Cobb and his crew are retired contracting and engineering professionals from West Virginia.
Mennonite Disaster Services built the first 15. So they provided a coordinator for us to, you know, train us on how to do the first one.
A bulldozer clears the remnants of two washed-out bridges next to the creek. Many of the bridges washed away were made of trailer frames and wooden planks or other recycled materials. Cobb says the bridges the Mennonites designed are altogether different.
They're phenomenally well-designed. And what's fantastic about this is a model that's exportable with minor changes. This bridge can be 20 foot long, it can be 40 foot long.
The Mennonite who designed the bridges, Johann Zimmerman, says cost, as well as a volunteer-friendly building process, were important design factors. But the main challenge was how to make them resilient.
Just about every one of these bridges is built within the 100-year floodplain. Just about every one of them is going to be overtopped with floodwaters once or twice a year.
Wooden-decked steel beams are cemented to bedrock on either side of the creek, spanning across streams so as not to catch debris or disturb ecology. The structures are quickly built, more easily maintained, and more resilient than what they're replacing. Floodwaters, like those that wrecked communities in June 2016, tested his design all are still intact. But he says the most impressive feature of the new bridges is the collaboration between organizations to make each one a reality.
I have never seen anything like it before. To do a bridge across a stream usually takes a permitting process of 6 to 12 months. We've been able to cut that process down to about 4 weeks.
West Virginia volunteer organizations active in disaster, West Virginia VOAD, designed this bridge project. It's the first of its kind in the country. This year, it won a National Innovation Award. The Mennonite Disaster Service was an early partner. Other participating organizations include the West Virginia Department of Highways, local fire departments, the state's Department of Natural Resources, and the state's Department of Agriculture. Back on the bridge in Lincoln County, Barbara Chalfant is a Presbyterian who is also participating in the project.
When each one of us does a little bit, we can accomplish a lot. And the Mennonites have shown us the way, and the Seventh-day Adventists are coming in behind and doing an amazing job. And so the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Baptists and the Unitarians and the Muslims and everybody else are going to have to come in behind and pick up the slack and get this thing done, right?
Hundreds more bridges still need to be replaced, costing thousands of volunteer hours and millions of dollars. But organizers in West Virginia, like Jenny Ganaway, aren't daunted.
We knew over a year ago that we had to do something because we had so many people without safe access and could not get to their home, and people were really hurting.
Ganaway printed an email she got about a year ago suggesting that this bridge project would be impossible. She says it's still taped to her wall, motivating her to press on. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Glynis Board in Williamson, West Virginia.